former Bellator fighter, well-known women's mixed martial arts fighter, Michelle Old, on the line. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm good, man. Pretty good. I'm out here by a fire at a restaurant so I could get away from all the loudness.
Nice.
It's actually pretty cozy. I get to get away from everybody.
You are like the Lenny Hart drop there.
Yeah. But, yeah, hard day at the gym today. I'm just like exhausted.
For sure. Yeah, I was actually going to lead off. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us tonight. Walk us through an average day in the life of Michelle Old.
Well, I don't really think anything about my life is average, and I try really hard to stick to a good schedule with the kids and training and stuff. But especially with kids, you know, there's always something that they forget, or you know what I mean. It's always just like hectic and chaos and yelling and come on, hurry up, we're gonna, you can't be late, and you know what I mean. So lots of yelling, and on an average day, but you know, it's all in. You know, I'm kind of the mom and the dad, so it's like herding cats with these guys, and you know, so we wake up. I always wake the kids up at 7, take them to school. And one of them's super easy, does everything on his own. The other one's the total opposite, and it's just like he's just high maintenance. And then after that, I go and get a little bit of coffee, take my, you know, morning supplements or whatever, and talk myself into the brutality of our pro practices at 10:30 every Monday through Friday. So then we have that, and then come home and shower. And usually clean and do laundry, all that other crap. I clean up after, like, a lot of people. And then now we go and pick the kids up shortly afterwards. And then usually go straight to a kid's practice. And I usually practice or do another class, you know, simultaneously with them. When we're usually, like, tonight, Monday's the hardest. We have two-a-days for the kids because they have wrestling also on Mondays and Wednesday nights. So they do jiu-jitsu and wrestling. And, you know, my training will usually not end until 8 o'clock either. So that's Monday through Friday. And then, you know, Saturday, usually do something light to break a sweat. But, you know, you're trying to recover so that we can, you know, because we always start Mondays and off with hard sparring. So we're usually trying to recover over the weekends. That's pretty much how it goes.
Jesus Christ, talk about a busy schedule. I asked this...
Yeah.
I ask this a lot, but I think it's especially relevant for female fighters. You know, punching someone else in the face certainly isn't the societal norm for women in our country. How did you first get involved with mixed martial arts and, you know, and combat sports?
I don't know. I've just always kind of had it in me. I just, like, I wouldn't call myself a tomboy growing up, but it was just something was always funny, amusing, like, intriguing about doing anything that the boys could do. I'm like, I just saw myself as an equal, you know? Like, I always was doing more push-ups, more pull-ups, like, in every sort of, like, competition, like, physically-wise and gym class and everything. That just really intrigued me. And, you know, I mean, I wish I would have gotten into wrestling in high school, but my parents weren't very stable. You know, I think that would have, you know, done a lot of things. Things would have gone a lot different for me, so I had to kind of play catch up. I went and had kids and stuff instead, but I started dating and then married my ex-husband. You know, I dated him, like, from 15 on, and he was a junior Olympian boxer, and then I started training, so I was always getting in fights and stuff at school. Usually not my beef. I was always, like, you know, sticking up for someone that was getting picked on or something like that. And that's kind of what I started getting known for. And, you know, I was getting in trouble for it, even though all my teachers liked me and I got good grades and stuff. You know, they could tell that there was something going on at home. You know, like, I had a very unstable home life and, you know, started getting mixed up in the wrong crowds. And they're like, we don't understand because you're so talented. Like, and you get straight A's even though, you know, you skip school a lot. But, and then you're getting in trouble too. It's just like crazy. So then I started training boxing, trying to, you know, stay out of trouble or whatever. And then, ended up getting married at an early age and, you know, having kids. And then, I got divorced, unfortunately. Actually, it's pretty fortunate. I don't really mind that at all because he's not the person I thought he was. And I picked up working out again. Around 25, I started getting back into mixed martial arts because I was dating a guy that started doing it as well. And every time him and I were going out to and drinking, you know, in bars and stuff, that was kind of the thing to do where I lived in Boise at the time. Like, he was always getting into fights and guys were messing with him. I started, like, jumping in, and then they got to the point where, you know, we're always bailing each other out of jail. I, like, we need to do something different. Like, that's not cool. It's not, you know, the route I need to be going. I already, you know, I really went through, you know, I have a history that a lot of people don't even know about. Like, I grew up in the system. I've been on probation and in some form of anger management since I was, like, 12. You know what I mean? Like, incarceration, like, group homes, like, homeless, like, you know what I mean? And yeah. I finally just wanted to change my life, and MMA changed my life, and I haven't looked back. And, you know, I had a lot of, you know, crazy stuff happen along the way, but I don't regret it, and it's been a lot of sacrifice, and it is stressful doing it alone with two kids and stuff, but, you know, now that I've been doing so well with it, and I still haven't realized my full potential, like, just support from my family and everything else, friends and just, you know, teammates and stuff, it's just been very overwhelming. Even throughout all of this stuff, everyone's like, gosh, I'm so sorry about all the negativity. I'm like, you know what? I've gotten more positivity from everybody that actually knows me than anything else. It's been pretty awesome. So, yeah, MMA, I think, really saved my life, honestly.
Yeah,
aside
what
for my children, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. What moment did you realize that A, you wanted to pursue a career in mixed martial arts, and B, realize, hey, I can really make a full time living off of fighting and training in mixed martial arts?
Honestly, like when I saw Gina and Julie fight, I think that did it for a lot of women. I just remember looking up and getting obsessed off of, like, YouTube videos and knowing who Chris Cyborg was before anybody knew who she was in the mainstream. And all I would do is just, like, you just watch. You know, that's all you could do is find, you know, and all the veterans, like Julie Kedzie and everybody. I was just, like, and Tara LaRosa and, you know, Shayna Baszler. And, a lot of these girls, Caitlin Young, and I call, now they're my friends. And people are calling me a veteran. I'm like, I haven't done shit compared to any of you guys, you know, like, you know, I've taken time off, and it's really hard for me to be consistent, and actually even still, until recently, signing the contract that I have, and after the whole Bellator thing, being able to be like, yeah, I can make this a full-time thing, because before, I'd have to take time off and go back to school, or focus on a job, because I have mouths to feed, you know, so it hasn't been consistent, but now, before I'm too old to do it, I'm really taking a good stab at it, and you know, the promotion that signed me, we haven't released it yet, and hopefully we will this week, and they believe in me, and, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, until I dropped off because of injuries, I was ranked number 3 at my weight class, so obviously I'm doing some right.
For sure. Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that. Let's touch on this topic that has made news recently. Multiple quote-unquote MMA journalists took a lot of umbrage to you just asking a question about the term white pride. You didn't say you were going to do it. You just asked the question, what would people think if you used that phrase on clothes or even as a tattoo? Because obviously current UFC champion Cain Velasquez has a brown pride tat. The response was very ugly. A lot of writers on actually, you know, respected sites basically calling you either ignorant or a racist. What was your reaction to the outrage people had about your tweet?
Let's see. My reaction was, remember I fell asleep and I woke up and it had just blown up because I just really didn't think it was kind of like a question, like, and I just didn't think people would take it to that extent. I guess it was like a boring news day, and I am just like, you know, I'm trying not to like take it personal. You know, I was really bummed out. Middle Easy, he wrote me an open letter, and I was like, bro, my kids are half brown. I date a half brown guy right now. My ex-husband's last name was Barajas Gonzalez. That was my last name forever. And I had to fight through being, like, ashamed of being white for a long time. I have my kids coming and telling me at school, you know, at a school that was predominantly Hispanic, they were getting kicked on for being white. Are we supposed to, because of things that have, they have no clue that happened in history, then there's a lot of things that have gone down in history that either haven't even affected anybody currently, or that people aren't even aware of that happened to white people also. You know what I mean? There's just so many things, and it's a good topic to debate on, but don't come at me all crazy like you even know anything about me personally or my life, or, you know, they like twisted everything around to make it seem like something that it wasn't at all. And more people came out and said, this is absolute bullshit that they're doing this to you. My coaches, everybody at Team Quest, which the majority of them aren't even white. Most of the people that were texting me hit me up, and they were making all sorts of jokes. And I realized, I was like, most of the text messages and my friends aren't even white. And they were, that's why they thought it was so like ridiculous and yet funny. And I tried to just deal with it with sarcasm. I honestly didn't lose a wink of sleep over it, because I was like, you guys are stupid and bored. And if I was a bigot, come on, then I guess I'd better sit my kids down and tell them, hey, guess what? Mommy's racist against you guys because you guys are half Mexican. You know what I mean? But I just feel like after all the progress we made, and we have Obama as a president, and whoever loves or hates that, like, you know, we've made so much progress, and yet it just doesn't make any sense to me. It seems kind of, you know, there's so many ways you can look at it. You know what I mean? But like a lot of people brought up a good point, like, how are you even proud of something that's just how you're born? And that's the law, you know? And I'm like, exactly. That was kind of my point. And, but why is it still like, it's kind of perpetuating that cycle of hatred. People, they hated being oppressed, but yet they keep bringing up this reminder, and it's confusing. You know what I mean? I'm honestly kind of neutral about it. I kind of was just asking the question to see, you know, I just don't understand why it's okay for someone, not the other, when we've come so far, it seems, as a society. But obviously, especially after the backlash, obviously we haven't. Either that or people just really are bored with their lives and they have nothing the hell else to talk about.
Yeah,
it was unreal, but funny to me. I just made jokes about it. My friends were making jokes about it. And of course, what happened in history isn't a joke, but, you know, people did go through a lot to get to the point where now we should be able to have intelligent conversations about this stuff. You know what I mean? Everybody's so ultra sensitive. And it's like, I'm not going to be ashamed and sit there and not say what I have to say because I'm white. That's bullshit. Like, I remember when I married my husband and being the only white person ever at every function, it was so uncomfortable all the time, and I had to earn that respect, and I have a very thick skin from it. And I have been incarcerated and remember being the minority and being taken under their wing. And, you know, it was a very scary thing initially when you're young as a teenager, you know, in like a hardcore prison setting. People don't even know that about me. Like, you have no clue. All of my friends were brown since I was very young, and I don't know why. It's not like I'm ashamed of being white or anything like that. It's just, you know, I love everybody. My friend, I've dated the rainbow, but you know, ironically, I can't even remember, aside from a girl that I dated a few years ago that was white. Before that, I haven't had a white boyfriend since like my freshman year in high school. They've been either Japanese, freaking Hispanic, black, Korean, no joke. So people really do need to do their research and like see the, and don't twist it out to make it something that it's not. So, that, I mean, you know, I get a little irritated about how stupid people are, but at the same time, I'm just like, thanks for the entertainment. And the fact that anything that I even say made it on those sites, thank you, because obviously anything I have to say is relevant. Like, that was shocking to me. Who gives a shit what I have to say? I haven't even been on TV yet.
I totally
agree.
That was
kind of an ego boost.
Yeah, I totally 100%. Sorry, I got something stuck in my throat. I totally agree. Sorry, I fucking legit had like some weird thing stuck in the back of my throat. But yeah, I think to call the term white pride racist in of itself is very racist. You know, I'm just as white as Sarah Kaufman, and I'm really proud of my Irish or white roots. You know, I mean, burning crosses were also used by white racists in the past, but we don't equate
right.
Crosses with racial injustice. Why do you think people have such a problem with the term, especially when it's used in a non-hateful context?
Yeah, like that's like the never. I seriously feel like that debate will never end until the point where all of us are going to be mixed, which it seems to be getting that way. And I obviously don't have a problem with it whatsoever. But the thing is, too, like, with my kids, too, like, I'm German, Norwegian, Dutch, and Irish. Am I going to get all those tattoos put on me? I just think it's okay for me to just say, I'm white. I'm white trash, if you want to freaking put it that way, if that makes you feel better. I really don't care. I know who I am, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I asked a question, and I understand where people are coming from the impression that it happened in history. But I'll tell you right now, on a personal level and the things that I've gone through in my life, I probably had more right to say what I did than anybody else that wrote a freaking article on there. Because I've actually been there, and so have my kids. So that's why it's so confusing for me, because I sometimes don't know what to say to them, because I've had to sit there and argue with principals, and I'm just like, even they are, I'm like, you're seriously going to let these kids at your school, because, you know, they're all brown, like, call my kids out for being half white and, like, make them feel ashamed for that? You guys need to, like, teach sensitivity. Because I'll tell you right now, if my half-white kids were to say something to a brown kid, you know what I mean? Oh, my God, that'll be racist, just like what happened with me. It's fucking bullshit. It's hypocritical. And people just need to quit being ultra-sensitive. It is what it is. I'm not going to be ashamed of being white. Yet, I'm not going to list every single freaking background that I, or, you know, ethnicity that I have. And I'm just, like, honestly, it's just retarded. It's just flipping retarded, and yet it still amuses me. It's funny.
Yeah, you know, I won't dwell too much on that topic, but did want to bring another topic up that made news earlier in the year. We here on the MMA podcast have had, well, some negative things to say about Brian Caraway. You know, for a guy who criticizes people's lifestyles so much, you would think he'd be smarter than to say he's you know, glad he took away a quote-unquote friend's bonus money. And, of course, we had the debacle where he said he would punch Ronda's teeth in. In May, you said he sold an ex-roommate of yours PEDs. You've always been an outspoken fighter, and we love you for it. What do you really think about Brian Caraway?
You know, I don't know the cat personally. It was just like what I heard through in the text message that I saw, and I was like, keep that stuff out of my house. I remember, you know, just, and Tanya at the time, she hated him so much, hated Misha so much. I didn't have a problem with either one of these people, and I just didn't care. But our roommate was friends with them and, like, really kissing their butts and everything else, and she really liked them. So I didn't have any reason to believe that she would say anything as a lie. You know what I mean? When she was saying, Brian thinks I should get on this, this, and this, and this is going to help me. And straight up was like, yeah, and here's, but, you know, I bought this from him, and yada, yada, yada. And, yeah, everybody knew at the time when they were living in that caravan or whatever, that's how he made his money. And I'm not saying that he used them, nor am I saying that Misha did, but that girl at the time, she alluded to the fact that he was getting Misha on cycles and stuff like that because her body had changed so much. But at the same time, that doesn't, you know what I mean? That's no proof. And nor do I really give a shit about that. I just only know when she moved out, she said, hey, go and look in my room because those vials of steroids, whatever they were, I can't remember what they were even at the time. And I couldn't tell. She said something about a bottle. So I don't know if it was a vial of something like a liquid or if it was pills. Go and look around for it in my room. And I'm like, you fucking bitch. I told you to keep that stuff out of the house. And so I'm looking around, I'm like, they're not, whatever it is, it ain't here. Come to find out, her girlfriend had found out about it and was also upset that her and Brian had done with the transactions, and she had thrown it away. I was like, cool, kudos to them. Totally had forgotten about it. But there was other things that came up, too. She was just, like, talking about how Misha was like, hey, you should come and fight up in Washington State, but fight as an amateur. They'll never know, you know, because she was a pro or whatever and had a couple pro fights, and she just wanted to be active. Like, that's just shady stuff. Like, both of them had been involved in some real shady stuff, and I was like, Melissa, don't do that. You will get suspended, like, either for a year or indefinitely if you're a pro, and then you freaking sandbag and you fight as an amateur. Like, that's the worst shit I've ever heard in my life, and I can't believe Misha Tate, who's supposed to be somebody, is suggesting that you do this. She's not a good friend. Neither is Brian, if they're doing these, you know, like, suggesting and, like, you know what I mean, pressuring her kind of in a way. Not to mention, she was really a gullible person. She's not the best person in the world, but it is what it is. And I had no reason to lie about it, and I never talked about it before, you know. Like, when he came to Uriah's gym, I was just like, ugh. You know what I mean? He better be real careful about that stuff, because Uriah and them are very, very strict. They're so all natural, very, very, You know what I mean? Good, clean-cut, straight-edge guys. And I was like, Brian ain't going to fit in with them at all from everything we heard. And then people started coming out of the woodwork, and I'm like, I'm not just saying this because I want to ruin anybody's life, because that's not my style. Misha's done some dirty stuff to me even before any of this came out, where she, like, literally tried to ruin my life because I always spoke my mind about her, but I never said anything that was, like, a lie, you know? I was just like, what you're doing trying to get a pro fighter to fight an amateur fighter could ruin her career. You know, she didn't like the fact that I stick up for myself, so she, like, would just, like, stoop to really low levels of guys just, would, like, not
what
even...
What would she do?
Just immature. Well, this was a couple years ago, but she found, like, some pictures that I had done, and they were never released, and I never, like, got to see any of them or anything like that. They're kind of more for my personal use, and then they're modeling or whatever, and then some of them were topless, and then she went and found the guy and, like, blasted and paid, like, and offered to play Front Row Brian and Bloodstained Lane to put him on the internet. And
at first,
they were kind of like, oh, she does, you know, topless, and I'm not ashamed of that either. First off, I don't care, but the way she did it was in a vindictive, shady way, like that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a bitch
I wake
move,
up naked
that's
every day like
move.
The rest of you. Yeah, I was just like she was trying to like ruin my life and my career. And all that did was get me more freaking followers. And I remember Shannon Knapp from Invicta was like, hey, you know, and everybody else like, hey, somebody's shopping these pictures around, and everybody started snitching and saying it's Misha. And I was just like, man, this chick's had it out for me from the beginning, and only because I always was sticking up for Tanya, because I never said nothing about the whole steroid thing with Brian and them for a long time, and I could have done that when the picture thing started. The only time I even brought that out was when dude said something about Healy, because I just felt like that's real hypocritical for you to say. There's lots of stuff and dirt I have on all sorts of people, but unless they do something to me, I'm not going to go out of my way. I don't do things for headlines. People say I do stuff for attention. It's not my people pay attention to the shit that I say. I lead an interesting life. And people don't even know half of the same life that I've lived. I could write a documentary or have a documentary. I do biography on it. Trust me, there are so many different facets to my life. And that's the reason why I have the balls to say what I have to say, because people gossiping is like flattering to me. Trust me, being incarcerated with some scary ass crazy bitches that are like murderers, okay, that's scary. That's real life shit. This is freaking like the Powder Puff Girls. This is nothing. This is funny. This is a joke for me. I'm serious. I'm not even kidding. I grew up homeless, watching my mom try to kill herself multiple times, being homeless, living on the streets. I know about real life shit. This is like a luxury. The fact that we're able to even talk about racial type stuff is a luxury in comparison to what people are going through in other countries or even in our country right now. You know what I mean? We have the freedom to express ourselves, and I'm going to do it. And I didn't do it intentionally to hurt anybody. I never did anything intentionally to hurt Brian or Misha either, even though they've gone out of their way to do it to me. I just said what was true, period. And yes, I took topless photos. And guess what, bitches? I'm probably going to take more. And if Playboy comes out and offers me to do it, I'm going to do that too. Guess what? Because I have kids, and I like money.
Ramses, have a couple questions you wanted to ask?
Actually, yes. Michelle, this is Ramses. I'm on Twitter, The Word on the Street, The Aunt Jimmy Show. Been following you for a while. Hi, nice to be talking to you. I'm appreciating your honesty. It's amazing. Thank you for your time, honestly. No, definitely. And totally. If it was Misha, that was a bitch move. Hopefully, I don't know.
Bitch move.
Hopefully, yeah. hopefully, Front Row Brian and Bloodstained Lane did the right thing because they are.
They did. They totally called her out on
guys.
It too.
Yeah, they are good guys. Is what I'm gonna say. They're buddies of mine. So yeah, shout out to them definitely. Michelle, I do want to ask you, because it always fascinates me when I get a chance to speak to a fighter that has children. I always want to know what a fighter tells their kids about dealing with bullies. And I was also, you know, doing my research about you earlier. I was watching interviews that you've done, articles, interview. You know, you did mention that you were talking about it right now, that you grew up in a hard environment, You were, I'm guessing from what I put together, you were bullied at first, and then eventually you figured it out. You know, you stood up to, I think I read something where you stood to the, your mom told you to stand up to the biggest one, and you did, or it was something like that. So I'm wondering, since you've been on both sides, a victim and, you know, not, I'm sure you weren't a mean person. Well, you've been bullied. Everybody has, is what I'm saying.
Right, right.
But you actually, you know, you actually turn the tables. So what does, so what do you, having been, you know, you've seen both sides, what do you tell your kids to do as far as if anybody tries to fuck with them, honestly?
And that's funny, too, because being known for what we do, like I have neighbors right now, legit, so prejudiced against me. We're going, we have a court date tomorrow because ever since they saw that they moved in, they saw the sticker on the back of my truck. They've been terrified of me ever since. It's this biggest debacle joke of my life. They never came and introduced me or anything because, like, they just think, oh, they imagine, I guess, the movie Fight Club or something that we just have a basement full of randoms. Like, you know what I mean? They have no education of it whatsoever, what fighters are, so they're completely prejudiced about it. But, you know, the whole philosophy behind martial arts is the more you know about it, the less you're supposed to use that. And I tell my kids that, and they know that. They know not to use what they learn in the gym at school unless somebody puts their hands on them. Yes, do not let anybody do that, but you do not go out of your way to instigate anything because you're going to immediately be the bad guy. And that's just how it is. Just like when I said the thing about the whole, anything that has to do with being proud about being white, I'm the bad guy. You know what I mean? That's the same thing. If you're a fighter, it's just about being prejudiced and just people being small-minded and just finding, you know, playing those stupid cards. You know what I mean? Oh, my gosh, she's a fighter. Therefore, you know, she's violent. Oh, these kids, they wrestle and they do jujitsu. Therefore, if anything happens, no matter what, it's their fault. So I tell them, you got to be very careful because people are real ignorant and they're just going to use that and, you know, play that. And, you know, and I've had my oldest son especially been targeted. Oh, he does wrestling. Your kid's not knowing what jiu-jitsu is or not believing that he does it and kind of like test him a little bit. And he's, you know, last year he had a rough year because he's sticking up for himself. And I'm like, you need to always stick up for yourself, but you need to choose your battles. Like, I am a firm believer of not snitching. That's the way I grew up. You don't snitch. And that's a lot of the reason why I got in trouble for a lot of things, because I went down for stuff that other people did. But with my kids, obviously, I want them to live a different life. And I'm like, there are times when snitching is appropriate. And this is what you say is, okay, since I've been judged and gotten in trouble before for, you know, physically sticking up for myself when this other kid attacks me, please, somebody get him away from me before it happens again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I try to, like, say, you know, use your logic and make sure that you know no matter what, you could hurt that person really bad. Of course, if somebody's going to come after you, like my kids got his hair pulled during soccer, pinch, and all stuff, like during PE and stuff, and you just turn around and just sock this kid. And, of course, immediately my kids, like, thought of as being the bad guy. And I'm like, he had some little bitch-ass kid pulling his hair like a girl, and that hurts more than getting punched. I know
first
from experience.
Blood.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like, but of course, I'm like, you have to realize, just like me, being a fighter, you're going to always be the one in the wrong, period.
Definitely.
Alan.
Yeah. Yeah, Alan, did you also have a question that you wanted to ask?
Yeah, just a little small question. Hey, Michelle. This is Westland Eagle from Twitter. I had kind of stood up for you the other day whenever the whole, you know, Brown Pride issue came into hand because, you know, they had that one guy that had a Twitter handle saying Brown Pride and how it wasn't racist. So I started popping up all the Brown Pride gang members and how you know, there's a difference between white pride and white power that you can't equate the two.
Right.
You know, totally two different things. But yeah, I just wanted to ask, like, as a fighter, whenever you first started out, you know, you won your first fight, but, you know, then you had back-to-back losses. At that point in your career, like, you know, how did you feel? And, you know, like, going forward, you know, what was your mindset, you know, having that type of adversity? You know, I mean, it's only two fights, you know, but it being early on in your career, you know, what did you tell yourself?
I was really, like, mentally hard. I didn't know anything. Like, when those first two losses, I'd had maybe 6 months training altogether under my belt. You know, and I had the guys at the gym not knowing much about the females and nobody knowing how to research on females. and their coaches and gyms have a tendency to hide their records, hide their last names, if they've ever been married, this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? They protect them, you know, and kind of like sandbag. They sandbag like crazy, especially back then. And so we could never, you know, is this going to be totally let, you know, and the promoters are shady too, you know. Oh, you guys are equal and blah, blah, blah. Come to find out, I was fighting top 10 girls, like, right out the bat. So there's no shame in that. Like, the whole Sophie Bagardi thing, that was a complete bullshit thing because come to find out, her manager was a freaking promoter that ran that fight. We didn't even know. It was complete. That thing was bullshit. And I love Sophie. Her and I get along and everything else, but we're going to rematch eventually, you know, after she gets back. She just had a baby, and, you know, then the real deal is going to, and I'm going to win, and that's just how it's going to be. Because I was winning initially when it happened. It was like a short, like a freaking bullshit stoppage for nothing. It was so confusing. That's when I realized how shady it could be, especially for the females. Then with Lynn Alvarez, she's just a freaking tough chick. But despite the fact that I lost, that was probably one of my best freaking grueling, most awesome fights that I wish I would have got on video. Like, no love lost. With, like, at that, we put our heart and soul out. Like, we got fight of the night. We got bonuses for that and everything. And the fact that I even stood toe-to-toe and I found out she had a bunch of kickboxing after the fact and had all this experience, and here I am with, like, 6 months experience. I really, you know what I mean? It was a little disheartening just, like, knowing how shady people can be, but it didn't really make me feel like I had any less skill or potential whatsoever. And trust me, I've tried to get rematches with a lot of these girls, you know, those three, her and those two, and then Zoila, and, you know, it'll eventually happen. Probably not with Lynn. She's not as active, and she's a smaller weight, but Sophie and Zoila, you know, we'll meet again, and it'll be on a fair ground. Like, with Zoila, I broke my foot. I was dominating that whole entire thing until I broke my foot on her. You know, and even her coaches after the fact, they were like instant messaging me and saying like how embarrassed they were of how she acted and blah, blah, blah. And that they knew what the real deal was. So it's whatever. But, you know, you win some and lose some. But I am not ashamed of my loss to Lynn Alvarez. I give her nothing but respect. And but like I said, I still am proud of that fight. it was an awesome fight. We tore each other up. It was great. It was great. I wish they would have
scored that. Yeah, I just wanted to know because we had a guy that he's looking to fight, and he did really bad at this first jiu-jitsu tournament. And, you know, he turned that into the next couple of fights. He came out and, yeah, you know, he just dominated. And, you know, I know he was really bummed after the first one. And I just wanted to get, you know, your perspective from it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, it can go either way, man. That's really where you dig down deep and you find out, is this meant for you or not? And obviously I overcame, and it wasn't meant for me, and it chose me or whatever. And I even tried to run from it, and it's something that I naturally am able to do. And of course you have to put in the hard work too, but I always tell people, you know, you got to start off slower. People get overzealous. I definitely did get duped into going pro with absolutely no training, no amateur fights or nothing. And so now I'm a lot more protective with people. Like, don't, you know, you need to slow down. You are not ready yet. They think they are, but they're not. And it's just like, yeah, do those grappling tournaments and all that stuff. And, you know, get experience in those ways under your belt first, and amateur and everything else. Smoker fights, all that. I think that's really good.
Yeah, thank you to Rams. Thank you to Ramses and Alan for questions. Just a few more MMA-related questions before we let you go. Thank you so much for the time. I do want to ask about Bellator. Not only have they dissolved their women's MMA divisions, but you weren't even able to watch Bellator 106 on Spike this weekend because of their insanely idiotic West Coast feed delay. What are your thoughts on Bellator?
They're just a hot mess, man. They have some talented fighters in there that just, like, don't even get the recognition. I'm glad that the guys got the payday. Mike and Eddie got their paydays finally, you know, that they deserve or whatever. But it just seems like it's turning into a big shit show. I'm not even mad they dissolved the women's, because it's almost, you know what I mean? It's like getting too, like, theatrical. It's embarrassing almost. Let the good guys go and you guys can continue being, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know, like, be a stepping stone promotion if that's what you're going to do. quit trying to compete because obviously they can't. They keep screwing up left and right all the time. And then they try, anybody that tries to be like, hey, I'm not happy with how you're treating me, then they just try to ruin their lives instead of letting them go, you know? And then here I am, Long Beach. I'm like, I should have just freaking gone to the fights. I got invited to go, and now I have to wait forever because obviously I'm going to watch these fights, you know? Emmanuel Newton was training at our gym. I'm buddies with King Mo, so of course I want to see that fight. And then who never wants to watch Eddie fight or Mike? And then them together is just like the holy, like, grail orgasm of fucking fights, you know, MMA. It was awesome, but then they just keep finding ways to screw it up. So they've never done anything personally to me, but at the same time, them dissolving the women's division, and then now with my new contract, I dodged a bullet, and things can be going better. For me, anyway.
Yeah, you mentioned your newest deal. Is it something you can't talk about yet? It's going to be released later in the week?
Yeah, it should have been last week, but there's a lot of things going on internally, you know, and their timing and everything else. And, you know, I'm not trying to jump the gun. My managers know what's best. Malki Kawa, Abraham Kawa, they manage the top guys. John Jones, unfortunately, you should pay. Aside from Misha, I'm the only other girls under them. You know, they manage Carlos Condit. You know, these guys know what they're doing. They're telling me to be patient, and I'm listening to them. And it's kind of cool, though, too, that I have managers that tell me, don't censor yourself and be you, girl. Because when I read what you said, and obviously Malki Kawa, hello, he is not white, and he said that he heard about when they started writing about, oh my God, Michelle said this and that. And he's like, I agreed with you. I thought that it is hypocritical. It's okay for one but not the other. I was like, man, I love you. Thank you. You know what I mean? They back me up. My team backs me up. Everybody I know, white, brown, black, green, yellow, they've all been backing me up except for a few random retarded people, and they don't matter, so whatever.
Well, actually, three of the four of us are going to be in Vegas in a week and a half for UFC 167. Chael Sonnen versus Rashad Evans, GSP versus Johnny. Who do you have in both of those fights?
Of course, Chael. He's been training at our gym for a while, and he is the nicest guy. Oh my God, he's so, a lot of people call me the female Chael fights from Rwanda, but like, and I think a lot of people, you know, people take our words and this and the other. He's a little bit more calculated in his speech. Me, I just kind of am off the cuff and just say whatever and whatnot. But everybody that knows me knows, like, you know, I'm a mom first and foremost, and I am a thoughtful person. But at the same time, I'm going to say what I have to say, and Chael's the same way, but he's so normal, and so many people hate on him. I think they're just jealous because he's got balls to say what they don't say, and I think it happens the same way with me. So of course I'm going for Chael, and definitely going for Hendricks, man. And I don't know. I mean GSP's a great athlete and everything, but going for Johnny, man.
Yeah, you were.
Sure. And then of course this weekend Dan's fighting, so I'm going for him.
Hell yeah, Team Dark Side.
Yeah, you actually probably know a good friend of all of ours, Coach Jamie Huey, who is on Ramses' show every Tuesday. Also, a super nice dude.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's awesome.
Final question. This one is very important. It was Halloween just a few days ago. What did you dress up as, and what is Michelle Old's favorite all-time scary movie?
I dressed up as a gynecologist.
Oh,
what?
I am a proficient at that, just so you ladies and gentlemen know. And my favorite scary movie of all time.
We did hear the MMA roasted show, so we're all aware.
I what did I say was my scary movie?
I don't know. There are a lot of decent ones. Personally, it's Halloween for me. Michael Myers. You can't beat him.
Yeah, Michael Myers, and it was like one of the early Freddy movies when like the body was out in the middle of the hallway and all wrapped up in a bag. Remember? And then her legs lifted up and she was getting drugged.
Yeah.
That just scared me. I don't remember. It was Freddy 1 or 2.
Word.
But yeah, I torment myself with scary movies and doll movies, and I'm still deathly afraid of dolls to this day. Fighter or not, there are no dolls allowed in my house.
If I'm, like, spending the night at, like, a creepy aunt's or a grandma's house or something, and there's a doll sitting there staring, I'll like, turn it around or put it under the bed or something.
If you're scared of dolls, then you both need to watch The Conjuring.
I did twice.
Word.
That's awesome.
Scared the shit out of me both times.
Well,
sleep too good.
Well, Michelle, you have taken a lot of time to answer our asinine questions. Is there anything you would like to say, any plug, sponsors, anything under the sun?
God, I wish I could come out and say who I was going to be fighting for, but I really appreciate the support from my Team Quest family and, anybody and everybody. Love me and hate me, I really don't care. You're keeping me relevant despite the fact I haven't fought in over a year. So, I appreciate everybody that's even just, like, put their input in. I've learned a lot from it. Of course, my children, they keep me on my toes. And, my blood family, my non-blood family, and anybody out there that's wanting to sponsor me, hit me up. And, Rev Gear and Americana MMA, SpitTheTruth.com. If anybody, I'm forgetting anybody, MMA Grills, Perfect Tan Temecula, all these people have just been through with me, Ride or Die, Dynamic Fitness, but at the end of the day, it's all about my kids and my parents and Team Quest.
Word. Well, we...
White Pride! No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, when that news drops later on, we will retweet the shit out of it. We hope to talk to you again and really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. Have a great evening, Michelle.
You're awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take it easy.